Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back. Another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Matt Watson. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, man?
I'm thinking about getting a dog.
Really?
Yeah.
I want a fish.
Well, okay. That might work too, but you know, overall, I have a concern with the dog that I want to get, and I'm worried that I'm not going to be properly covered if the dog needs medical help, a long hospital stay, a new hip. I'm kind of freaked out. So,
yeah, that sounds like a problem.
Yeah, I know. Now, before we get to the solution for that problem, I want to mention that today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. And with that, I'll introduce today's guest. It's amazing that once again, our guest is, it's super timely and applies to the issues that we have. I'm not sure if your fish is going to be covered here, but I've brought in Casey Masters, who's the CEO and co-founder of Companion Protect. You can go to companionprotect.com to check out what they do, but a rapidly growing company in the pet insurance business. Hello, Casey.
Hey, guys.
It's good to have you. I guess we could probably jump right in. Do you insure fish?
Unfortunately, we do not insure fish at this point. It is on the product roadmap, so stay
really?
Tuned.
All right.
Is it really on the product roadmap?
No, it is not. No. I mean, if we're looking 10, 20 years out, potentially.
Well, as we mentioned, that you know, pet insurance is something that it's growing. A very small portion of pets are insured, but with that, it's become a very massive industry. Can you give us a little backstory about, I mean, even the industry yourself and how you guys got Companion Protect started?
Sure. Yeah. My personal background, I'm an insurance geek by trait. Started my career here in Kansas City at Lockton Companies. Was fortunate enough to be part of a founding team of a company called Lockline. And our sort of product was insuring wireless phones. So we had a great run in the last 20, 25 years of building a consumer-based insurance program for wireless phones throughout the globe. And we decided that it was time to take our attention and turn it to something we love, which is animals. And so about 5 years ago, we started doing some research on pet insurance and tried to understand if that was a market that we wanted to get into, and we quickly learned that it was. There's, like you said, Matt, there's only a couple percent of animals, pet dogs and cats in the U.S. that have pet insurance, and we think that number is really, really low. The research says 20 to 30% of people actually want the product, so we see a huge opportunity to fill a need.
So I think a lot of people don't realize how big the pet industry is in general. are you aware, or do you know right offhand, like how many people actually have pets, meaning just like even dogs and cats?
Sure. Yeah. In the United States, there's over 180 million people have dogs and cats. Two-thirds of the U.S. households have either a dog or a cat, and in many cases, they have both.
Hmm. And what percent of those animals or pets at the moment are insured?
Today, only 1-2% have insurance. There's a myriad of reasons why, but again, the demand says 20-30% and upwards. In some countries, the take rate's up to 50% on a product like this.
Wow.
So what exactly are, when you buy pet insurance, what does that cover?
Well, there's a lot of different products out in the market, which is, you know, part of what the research sort of bore out. The basic product that we offer is for illness and accident. So the coverage is very comprehensive. Any illness your pet may suffer, cancer, hip dysplasia, any ailment, knees, all sorts of issues that the pet may, you know, have over the course of its life. And then also it covers, in our case, our product covers accidents, right? You never know if your animal's going to get out of your backyard, chase the squirrels and the rabbits, which my dog Salvia is doing probably as we speak. And so you want protection. You want to have peace of mind that if something does happen, you can actually have coverage and you feel good about it.
I have a little firsthand experience with this. So I was once had an American bulldog, and it had hip dysplasia, and I didn't realize it. You know, it was probably the 8th or 9th month that we'd had the dog, and it had just kind of a strange, like, frailness to its hips. And we took him to the vet, and he took some x-rays, and guy comes in and he says, well, your dog has hip dysplasia. And I had never even heard of that at that point. And I said, well, what does that mean? And, you know, he kind of explained it to me. And I said, well, what do you need to do to fix it? And he said, well, you'd have to do a hip replacement, and that is about $6,000. And then he told me, he said, sometimes you can get away with one, but you might need to do both. And I'm sitting here going, oh my God, $12,000. Now, I didn't have pet insurance. And that was a heartbreaking feeling. And I remember that. So, you know, and that was 15 years ago. So
yeah. We hear stories like that all day, every day. And it's unfortunate. Most of them are like you know, it happened years ago and they wish they would have had the coverage. Pets are like people. They get sick, they get injured. They have issues happen over the course of their lifetime. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And so our product, you know, is designed for that exact issue. Our product has a $100,000 lifetime limit. So in your case, if you would have had a $12,000 claim, it actually would have been covered all the way through the $12,000. You know, one of the things we learned in the industry, and part of the reason only 1-2% of people have pets, the products that were in market 10, even 5 years ago, they really weren't good products for the consumer. There are a lot of gotchas, a lot of holes in them. You know, as an insurance person, I looked at the policy and the first thing I sort of interpret is, oh, they're trying to deny coverage, right? And you know, your example is a prime example. A lot of our competitors, if you have something happen on the right side, whether it's a hip or a knee, the bilateral piece of it is not covered. So if it happens on the left side, it's no longer covered. It's a pre-existing condition. Well, that's not the way you build a product and grow a business. And so those are that's one example of something we've done to really make the product better and make it, you know, affordable, but also cover the issues that people have. And, you know, part of the reason that we got into this space is that the number one killer of companion animals in the United States, it's not cancer, it's not heart disease, it's actually economic euthanasia. It's situations where there's a treatment available, but the consumer basically can't afford it or chooses not to afford it. And so, you know, for the animal's sake, the mission side of our business, we're trying to break that cycle.
So what's the number one thing that a dog or a cat would need to be insured for? Like, what's the most popular claim?
We see a lot of, you know, just like humans, they get upper respiratory issues, right? There's you know, we see animals that are overweight and they need to be on prescription food. You know, we see a whole range of things. You know, accident wise, we see a lot of animals that chew on toys and swallow them and get them caught in their intestines.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and those things are expensive, right? Those are.
By the way, I've had that happen too. I had a pit bull, and it was chewing on one of those rubber toys, and it. So we went to take it. It was the worst timing ever, man. We went to take the dog on a road trip with us, and it was puking all over the car. We didn't know why. We ended up taking him to an emergency vet, and he had a piece of rubber lodged in his intestine, and that was another expensive dog owner. I wasn't insured there either. I'm starting to pick up a pattern here.
I think we might need to get you some insurance for that new
dog. Oh. Okay, so I didn't realize that some of the ongoing stuff was covered as well. All right, so you mentioned now your company's, you guys are around 5 years old, and you've grown pretty quickly. You have over 50 employees or participants in the business, and that's a lot to plan for and grow for, especially when your background was in phone insurance. So how do you go about planning for a pet insurance business, especially when you don't have a background in pet insurance?
That's a great question. We've spent a couple of years trying to learn the space. There are a lot of parallels between cell phone insurance and pet insurance. We kind of joke sometimes, I'm not sure what people are more attached to, their pet or their cell phone. literally, it's a tough call, right?
I agree.
So we got really good at consumer-based insurance products, you know, how consumers react to a product, the pricing, the coverage. And what we really learned is they want great service. They want an experience that when they do have an issue that gets taken care of, they get reimbursed really quickly. And so those are the, you know, some of the fundamentals we built the pet insurance business on. You know, when a customer has a claim, we take care of it. We've paid over 97% of claims that have been presented to us over the last 3 years, which is definitely industry leading. And that's by design. You know, we want to build a product that has good coverage because that's how you grow a business. I have seen so many people try to start consumer-based insurance product companies and they try to control their profitability by denying claims. And we take a whole different approach. We actually take the approach that the more claims we pay, the more it grows our business. So we have had some growing pains over the years because pet insurance is a little bit different than cell phone insurance, but a lot of the way you service the customer is very similar. And we also, you know, part of the reason, you know, we met you guys is we focus super heavy on the technology side, right? We invest a ton of money on the tech stack we use, but really primarily to drive the customer experience. We know a good, efficient technology solution drives efficiencies, which, you know, consumers like that. They don't want to wait in line. They don't want to have to call somebody. They don't want to wait forever to get reimbursed. So, you know, all of those things that we learned in our past life, we're trying to apply today.
So that some of those efficiencies, does that just involve like getting people signed up and onboarded or claim management or stuff like that? Is it just things that basic workflow automation or business process automation?
It is, yeah, but it really starts on the enrollment side of our business. And so we are heavily investing in the digital enrollment experience. You know, insurance is shifting from the old days where you talk to your agent. And they consulted you on your home and your auto and all the other coverages you may need. Well, that shifted digital, right? That experience especially for the millennials and the younger crowd, they don't want to talk to somebody. They want to go online. They want to see all their options, and they want to make a buying decision. And so we're keenly aware of that. And so that's a huge emphasis from our company is to really maximize that digital experience, the onboarding experience. And then, you know, once someone becomes a customer, you've got to have a way to communicate with them, right? You got to have good lifecycle management. You got to reach out. You got to keep your product relevant. You've got to create the value for the consumer so they continue to buy the coverage. And so all of those are done in our company through technology.
Well, and I would guess that your guys' price point is a lot lower, and therefore your margins, you know, have to be a lot better and lower, you know, because people don't pay $1,000 a month probably for health insurance for their animals, right? Like,
that's,
you know,
right.
You know, so, you know, when something's a big ticket, you can afford to, you know, have all that overhead of all those people and all that stuff. But you guys need to process volumes of, you know, people at a lower overhead. So technology is super critical. Makes a lot of sense to me.
It is, Matt. We we built our first business and we saw the benefit of technology. We saw what it could do to you when you got to scale, right? The economies that the efficiencies that it created. And so when we started Companion Protect, the really cool thing about starting over was we got to choose a brand new tech stack based on today's technology, which is really opened the door for us to communicate through APIs with our partners, you know, have a good experience for our consumers, our customers. And like you say, it lowers our costs. Our admin costs go down. Yeah. Because
well, and I love in this day and age, I feel like a lot of companies, I wish they'd look at it where if their customer has to talk to a human being, they failed. You know,
we talk about that a lot.
Yeah. It's like, when's the last time you talked to somebody at Amazon?
You definitely don't want to.
Never. Right? Why the hell would you talk to them on the phone?
Never. A great example of that, Matt, is for the first year of our product, we didn't have a customer portal, right? We didn't have a way for a customer to go in and look at their account, update their information, update their billing. And we saw our churn was high, right? Because people literally would just drop the product versus calling us and give us their new debit card number. Yep. And so once we implemented the consumer portal, which I encourage everybody who has the product to use, it's great. Consumers can self-serve. They can self-serve on the payment side, but also on the claim side. Everything's done through that portal. So they really don't need to talk to somebody. And you're right. If they are talking to someone, something probably broke down.
So is this the emphasis you put on the technology side of this, has that become a big competitive advantage to you when you try to partner with other people that resell your product and they need to easily provide it to all their employees? And, you know, the volume and the scale of that has to be there, right?
Absolutely. We just launched a new partnership this year with a digital marketing sort of firm that solicits, you know, consumers through digital marketing, and then they convert them. And so what we were able to do through our open APIs, we opened up our system, our quoting engine, our payment engine, our onboarding engine through these APIs so they could actually create the consumer experience. And so that's the technology advantage we have. And actually, in this case, the original business plan of this company was to have three competitors, right? Think of hotels.com. You search pet insurance and it gives you three choices with three quotes.
Yeah.
Well, we were the only one that could actually implement the technology. And so we are the only one that they're offering today. So that's a huge example of why technology, how it separates us.
Mm. So you guys don't provide the insurance yourself. You're reselling policies from other people.
We actually are a program manager. We're not an insurance company. Today we partner with Aspen Insurance for the paper. We take the risk on the back end. So we're full service, processing, customer experience, all the way through the risk taking.
So I have a question, Casey. We talked about all this planning and you mentioned studying the space, looking at a whole bunch of different stuff. Obviously you never know until you get to do it. What part of that plan was way off? Like, was there something that you look back at and you're like, man, I can't believe we thought that might work? Or that could be time, money, anything.
Well, like any other good business plan, you should just take your revenue, slice it in half, and then double your expenses. And that's probably closer to what reality is. No, we definitely had growing pains early on. We took the approach, sort of a slow go approach, you know, because we didn't know how pet insurance was going to perform from a financial perspective. So for the first 2 years of our product, we were primarily in Kansas and Missouri, and we were basically testing the product, making sure that the coverage was right, making sure that the premium was right, both for the consumer, you know, a good price point for the consumer, but also for us to make money. The one thing that is something that we've run into is just doesn't go as fast as you ever think it is, right? You think you can get to market way faster. And in a consumer-based product like this, it takes a minute to get consumers aware of your product. So that's the one thing I would say we missed a little bit on the initial thesis was just the speed at which we could get to the place we want to get to.
Did you hit the bullseye on anything?
Yeah, we definitely hit the bullseye on the product design. You know, our product, we we took a fresh look at the coverage of this of pet insurance. We literally lined up every one of our competitors on a big matrix and went through line item by line item the coverage. And there were a lot of gaps. There were a lot of opportunities for us to make the product better. And so I would say if there's one thing we've done very, very well is create a product that is really, really, it's good for the consumer and good for the animal.
How do you differentiate yourself from your competitors in that regard? Because it's one, you know, when you say that, like, hey, we pay out claims or we do this or we do that. But how do you get the how do you get your potential buyers or users to understand that in that 2 seconds of impression based anything that they get?
It's a challenge. There's no doubt. You know, to your question of how we separate, differentiate. You know, one example is we don't underwrite by breed. So we're the only insurance company in the United States today that does not discriminate based on breed. And there's a lot of reasons we do that. You know, some are mission based and some are just, you know, common sense based. And so that's a component I think, you know, definitely separates us. You know, another piece, we don't increase our premium as the pet ages. You know, most of our competitors, every single year, the premium goes up. So that by the time your animal's 7, 8 years old, you're paying hundreds of dollars a month. And they really do this as a forcing mechanism to get people when they get to those older years to drop the coverage so they don't have to pay claims. So we've created a product. Our whole goal is to get someone when they get a puppy or a kitten, keep the coverage until their life is, you know, to the end. And that's how we've designed the product. We also, you know, in this industry, pre-existing conditions like human healthcare are a big issue. Every policy excludes pre-existing conditions, including ours. You know, you couldn't make money if you signed people up knowing you were going to lose money on them. The key difference that we've implemented, though, is we tell you what your pre-existing conditions are. So when you sign up, we ask you for access to your vet's medical records, and we go through those records. And if there's a chronic and ongoing condition that's going to be excluded in the future, we tell you that before we take your money. We're the only insurance company in the U.S. that does that. All of our competitors will gladly take your premium every month. And then when you have the claim, that's when they decide to tell you that, oh, that was a pre-existing condition and it's not covered. And that is one of the biggest sort of pain points in this industry. When we did the research, consumers hate that. Consumers want to know what they're buying. And so that's something we definitely wanted to clean up. And I'm very proud of it. And the reality is when you tell people what's excluded, most people continue on the buying process. They already know the animal has that issue. So we're not seeing a reduction in enrollments because of it. What we are seeing is, you know, better customer satisfaction because of it.
So how do you police the whole pre-existing conditions part of this? Where somebody says like, yeah, my dog has cancer, but I'm not going to tell you. Like, how do you deal with that?
Well, that's a great question. We get their vet records for the last 2 years. Okay. Right. So if they've had cancer, hopefully they're being honest and they're sending us their real vet records. You know, we don't have the ability to actually see the physically inspect or evaluate the pet. So there's a component of risk that we take, right? And that's, you know, insurance in general. We're risk takers. That's what we do. We want to get to a place actually in the future where all pre-existing conditions are covered. That is an aspirational goal for us. And there's a lot of work to be done between now and then. But we go through the extra step and look at your vet records. And that's an expense to us on the front end. But it actually saves us money because when you do that adjudication and you're processing that claim, and that's when you go through the pre-ex, that costs you more and your customer sat goes way down.
Yeah. Or can you do something where once they've paid premiums for like a minimum of a year, then all the pre-existing conditions go away or something like that?
Yeah, we've looked at it, and we're pretty generous with pre-existing conditions. So an example of a pre-existing condition in our world is, let's say, diabetes, right? Where the animal has diabetes and it's always going to have diabetes, and the medicine's going to cost a couple hundred dollars a month every month. Well, our premium is only $50, right? So it'd be really hard for us to sign somebody up paying us 50, knowing that we're going to pay out a couple hundred dollars every single month.
Yeah.
So that's really what we're trying to solve for. We're not in the business of trying to, you know, play the gotcha game with our customers. If it's in the gray area, we err on the side of the consumer.
Well, that's good. So question for you, we like to ask our guests is, you know, is there a specific problem that you guys had to really overcome, that you really had to hustle to figure out a way to solve, or, you know, certain opportunities you had to really hustle to go and win, or a big problem you had to hustle to maneuver around?
Well, as you guys know, all aspects of a startup require a hustle.
Yeah.
So I would say everything has required a fair bit of hustle. But right now, what we're hustling on right now is this digital experience. We are plowing in every ounce of brain power into how we just nail that piece. We firmly believe that if we can be the industry leader in the digital experience, you know, we'll win. You know, we talk a lot about Blockbuster versus Netflix in our internal meetings. And I pound the drum that we do not want to be Blockbuster, right? Netflix is the path. And in insurance, right? Traditional insurance is, again, sold through an agent. And so there's a shift in our industry, and it's been happening for the last 20 years, like every other industry, but there's a shift to doing everything digitally. So that's the hustle piece. That's the part where we want to get ahead of the game and stay ahead of the game.
Once again with us today, we have the CEO and co-founder of Companion Protect. I'm talking about pet insurance startups today, Casey Masters. So once again, thanks for taking time to out of your busy schedule to sit down with us. Now, you just mentioned that certain parts of, you know, there's wins at the business. What's it like? What does a win or winning mean at Companion Protect? Like, what are a few things that are okay? The ball went through the hoop.
Sure. Yeah, so we have three primary distribution channels, right? So we distribute our product through animal shelters, and so as we sign up shelters, that's definitely a win, right? To get the animals that get adopted out through an animal shelter to make our product available. So we have a whole team of people, a sales team that is calling in to shelters every day, and so we celebrate those wins. We also have a concept of a vet work. We have built, and it's definitely here in Kansas City, and our goal is to build it out nationwide, a network of veterinarians. And if you go to one of our vet work partners for a claim, the consumer, the out-of-pocket piece gets reduced significantly. Much like human healthcare, you would just pay your deductible and copay, and then we pay the vet the difference. And so a win for us, just like on the shelter side, is to grow our vet work. We've got north of 150 participating vets today. Our ultimate goal is around 3,000. So we have a ton of work to do, but our product is very compelling, and it's fun to listen to the vets. Once they would get the aha moment of what this can do for their practice, you know, the success follows. So those are definitely milestones and key wins. We just recently started a channel called our Insurance Solutions Group. And this is really a carryover from our past life. And now that we've got a product in all 50 states and we have some experience with a pet insurance product in all 50 states, we're actually taking that expertise to home and auto insurance companies and working with them to build pet insurance products under their brands. And so that's a really new and exciting part of our business. And quite honestly, I think that's going to fuel a ton of our growth. Those are wins. Matter of fact, I have a call this afternoon, right after this call, a sales presentation. And so, you know, as we form those partnerships and start implementing and launching these other branded pet insurance products, those are huge wins as well.
Now, I think a lot of people don't realize, I mentioned earlier, the size of the business or potential size. And I have notes that say in 2018, the pet insurance business or industry was a $1.42 billion industry. And depending on who you ask or where you look, that by 2026, it could be anywhere from 11 to 25 billion. Good luck capturing a lot of that. That's great that you're ahead of that. I think it's, hey, that's a lot. I mean, think at that growth. If you went from 1.4 billion in 2018 to even the low end of that estimate of 11 billion by 2026, I mean, that's some pretty exciting growth. So now with that, what's the plan for you guys scaling up? Like, how do you deal with that as a leader? Is that something that, how are you growing, or how have you grown along with the growth of the company?
Sure. Yeah. Fortunately for us, we've sort of been there, done that. We've you know, experience being in the wireless industry in the late go-go 90s, as I like to call them, and growth at that point in time for us was really exceptional. And so we learned a ton on how we scale a business, grow a business. You know, for example, we hired 1,500 people in a 12-month period. So we've got some direct, you know, boots on the ground experience on scalability. I'm actually super excited to get the opportunity to do that again. So we have a whole team of people. It's a great question because we spend a lot of time talking about our scalability plan, making sure we can deliver the results that we're out there promising. And again, I hate to harp back, but it really comes back to technology, right? You have to have a good technology foundation to scale a business like this. And so that's a big piece of it. You know, in terms of people, you know, we've all entered a different world. We were chatting a little bit earlier before the call. You know, our whole workforce is changing. We are moving from what would be a traditional sort of bricks and mortar office scenario to more of a virtual world, which, you know, there's some management, you know, issues that you have to deal with when you go virtual like that. But for us, it opens up the pool of candidates, not only to Kansas City, but basically we can hire people and have them working anywhere in the U.S.
And that is, you know, that growth, the whole entire office and job marketplace, all of it is going to change dramatically over the next few years. You have companies like Twitter saying, hey, let's work from home forever. Start doing the math. They're probably doing the math and going, hey, this isn't the worst thing in the world. And it just really depends on what, I don't know, standards change, things change. I think there's only one thing you can guarantee in business, and that's that things will change. So now when we have enough participants, and today we do, we like to play mixtape the game. I'm going to invent a card today, guys. Yeah. Now, mixtape the game, you can go to mixtapethegame.com. You can download the mixtape the game app on iOS or Android. I'm going to pull a card. And like I said, I'm kind of inventing one here. I'm going to name a scenario. And all of us will name the song that comes to mind that should be playing while that scenario is playing out. And here we go. Your dog is running towards you with an amazing, loving look on its face across a field. What song is playing as it approaches you?
Chariots of Fire.
Ooh, I like that. I'm going with Nothing Compares.
Oh,
to you.
I like it.
Nothing compares to you. Watson looks stumped.
Oh, man. You know, this isn't fair that you get to make up the cards. So you have like all day to think about
it. You can make one up, dude. You can make one up. I made it up on the fly, dude. I had to make it actually work and fit.
To fit your answer you already had. This is like Jeopardy. No. You already knew the answer.
I wanted a pet version. I was scrolling through. I was looking through the mixtape deck, and I went through a bunch of cards. I was like, you know what? I'm inventing one. And this is, by the way, Casey, this is Watson buying time. And while he does that, I can mention once again that today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io.
Oh, man.
You really can't think of a song?
I'm thinking of Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On. That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
I like it. I had to flush my head of the Beastie Boys. I just watched the documentary here recently, and yes. So I was trying to come up with a great Beastie Boys song, but I couldn't nail it.
Yeah, now I watched that too. That was interesting, and it resulted in me listening to all of the Beastie Boys albums in like the next day, including teaching my 5-year-old daughter how to scream at the beginning of Sabotage, which my wife appreciated. Yeah. So anyway, back to the voting. Casey, you can't vote for yourself, so I'm going to vote for Chariots of Fire because I think that's just a good running in full stride kind of song.
I got to vote for him, too.
Ah,
uh-oh.
He doesn't even have to vote. We took the pressure off of him.
I love it.
Well, there we go. We've got a winner for yet another round of mixtape, and it's not me or Matt.
Woo-hoo.
Hey.
We need to go back. We should have been keeping historical records here because you never know who's going to win when you play mixtape. So, all right. Now, Thanks again for taking the time to chat with us. And I've got a couple wild card questions that we're trying to work in here. So, yeah, startups aren't easy. And I think we've all established that. And I think we know that. You've been down the road. I've had the pleasure of spending some time with you on and off the court, Casey. And we've talked about how much work that is. So do you consider yourself to be driven or obsessed when it comes to your business or your success?
Probably crazy. It's really a combination of both, right? You have to be just inherently driven to get up every day and move the needle. But it's also, for me, it's a little bit of fear of failure, right? I have to do it. It's just sort of in my DNA. And the cool thing about startups, as you guys know, is to me, I look at it as just we're problem solving, right? We identified a problem and we started a company to try to solve that problem. And then every day when we wake up and come into the office, whether it's home or at the actual office, you're just solving problems. And so that's the biggest challenge for me in the startup world, is the problems. You don't have a manual to go and pull off the shelf to solve the problem. And that's why it's not for everybody, right? Not everybody can live in an environment where there isn't, a playbook already established. And so for me, that's the exciting and probably the crazy part, is I love building the playbooks.
Well, and that's always something that is a challenge. And we've said that countless number of times, that one of the hardest parts of a startup is it doesn't come with an owner's manual. Yeah. Every time you do something, it's the first time it's been done. And I think one of the things I've learned multiple instances down the road is it's a really good idea to start writing that owner's manual right away. Because if you're going to grow, and you mentioned like from a past history, I mean, we look at full scale growing to nearly 200 employees in 2 years. I can't imagine what it was like at your prior company, 1500 people in a year. Did you say that? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, we were at one point hiring 50 to 100 people per week. And so, yeah, we had to get really, and there definitely wasn't a manual that we could pull off for that. But we learned a ton. And to your point, we kind of filed that away to memory. We documented it, and now we actually do get to pull that off the shelf to some extent here at the new business. But it's not the same, right? It has to be flexed and morphed to the space we're in today. But it's nice to, at least, I guess for me, it's nice to know, to have that sort of confidence that we've done it before. We know we can do it again.
Yeah. And that's, it's like I said, it's the, I don't know, that's why so many people are better off being franchise owners than startup founders. And there's a reason that franchises have a higher survivability rate too. And that's, you can call someone and say, hey, what do I do if?
That's right.
That's always the challenge. That's what makes everything seem like a big clusterfuck in the beginning too. It's kind of a challenge. You're like, what am I supposed to do? Like, why are you asking me? Like, right. It's the first time it's happened to me too. So you got to kind of figure that out. All right. So we end our, and once again with us today, Casey Masters, CEO, founder, Companion Protect. Go to companionprotect.com, check out what they do, and buy some insurance for your pet. We end episodes of Startup Hustle with what we call the founder's freestyle. We pass the mic around. We will start with you, Casey. Really, how would you like to wrap up your appearance here on Startup Hustle, or drop some knowledge or advice for future startup founders of the world?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks, guys, for having me on. Like I mentioned earlier, this is actually my first podcast, so hopefully I didn't fail miserably. I appreciate you guys inviting me. The advice I would give wild, crazy people like us who are just crazy enough to think they can do it, the advice is to make sure you're committed, get a plan, commit to the plan, but don't be afraid to change when you get new data. I think that's probably, in my experience, one of the biggest reasons that startups fail is they get so committed to the initial plan that they don't flex and morph, when they get new data that suggests they should tweak or, maybe move in a slightly different direction. And there is a fine line, because you can't lose sight of why you originally started the company, but you can't be so naive not to take the data that presents itself and use that to make, maybe new decisions.
Matt, have you changed your name to Masters Watson? Is that what I'm seeing now?
Yeah, instead of Master Watson, I'm Masters Watson.
We had Casey Masters and Masters Watson.
Yes.
So Masters Watson, what's your take on today's episode?
You know, I think this is yet another example of an entrepreneur that worked in the industry, got really valuable experience and knowledge about the industry, you know, and then was able to use that industry knowledge and experience to go start his own business, you know. And, you know, he worked in insurance, different kind of insurance, but be able to take that same knowledge and take the leap. And you've had a very, very successful an endeavor so far, and I think you will continue to. So you're obviously in an industry that is really growing and booming, and one of the leaders of it. So congratulations. And we need a lot more people like you.
Couldn't agree more. Once again with us, Casey Masters, CEO, co-founder, Companion Protect. Go to companionprotect.com. While you're on the internet, go check us out at Startup Hustle Podcast on the gram. Casey, I think the thing that really stood out to me today was your drive for making the digital experience what it is. And I'm such a huge advocate of that. And I've spent a lot of time recently almost getting obsessive with that part of product design and reduction of steps and clarity. And so people, it's easy to say, oh, you need to make your product streamlined and intuitive. Okay, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean? And it's kind of like in 2009 when I was gone back to school, and they were saying you need to learn how to hire offshore people, and then they didn't tell us how. So I had to figure it out. And 10 years later, I still have employees in the Philippines. And you know, it's, I think that there's a lot of input and advice that falls well short of where it needs to be. And then it's up to inventive people to figure out the rest. And I'm glad to hear that you're finding success with that onboarding. And, you know, the quicker you can sign people up, the quicker you make it for people to manage, understand, and not have to ask questions. It really pays dividends, especially if you hit that sharp hockey stick of growth at some point. Because, like, I guarantee at some point in that year one, when you hired 1,500 people at the old company, you get that oh shit look on your face, and you're like, oh wow,
what are we doing here?
Yeah, what are we doing here, and how are we going to do this? And it's sometimes if you're not out ahead of that, and I did the same thing at Full Scale. Like after about 6 months, I said, man, we got to start building a company system or doing something here, because this could spin out of control pretty quickly, and that. It's a matter of just trying to get that figured out, and you're usually going to be wrong. And then you get, like you said, but you adapt. And I think that there were some very important lessons today. Fortunately, I also purchased podcast insurance before this episode, because you said that you hadn't been on before. So I wanted to make sure that our time was insured, especially Masters Watson, because if anyone's going to file a claim about time, it could be Matt. So, well, with that, I said I wanted to find a dog, so I'm going to go find one, and I'm going to sign up for Companion Protect after. So I got to run, guys. I'll see you next time.
See ya.
Thanks, everybody.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.